Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm so glad for the privilege of sharing the word this morning. So I pray that you may be able to understand my English. But I'm so glad for that. I would like to ask you to open your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And while you open your Bible, I will introduce myself. Maybe we have someone visiting us this morning and you don't know who I am. So I am André. I'm from Brazil. I'm here with my wife, Marcela, our son, Estevan. So we have been living in Canada for about 2.5 years. Here in Richmond Alliance Church, I have the privilege of serving the music ministry now for 1 year. And before we come to Canada, I served in Brazil as associate pastor for about 10 years. So, but now I have this challenge to preach, not in Portuguese, but in English, right? So officially, this is my first sermon in English from the pulpit. So I'm so glad, I'm so happy for the privilege God gave me to share His word and for doing this here in Richmond Alliance. So I would like to say thank you to Pastor Ron for sharing the pulpit with me. So it's a pleasure for me to speak about the God's word. Amen? So 1 Timothy chapter 1, I would like to read from the verse 12 to the 17. Paul says, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in Him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And we say, Amen. Amen. So I'd like to begin giving you a little bit of the background of this letter, so you'll be able to understand better. Paul writes this letter with the purpose of bringing encouragement and guidance to his son in the faith, Timothy, who was sent by him to Ephesus to put that church in order. So Paul instructs him on how to deal with the false teachers who are present in the church of Ephesus. Some Judaizers wanted to impose the practice of Judaism, teaching that Christians should follow the law of Moses to be accepted by God. That's interesting because Pastor Ron spoke about that when he was preaching in Galatians. So we see that it wasn't only a problem in the church of Ephesus or Galatians, but when we read the letters in the New Testament, we'll see many times this topic come up because it was an issue in the first century church. So Paul now is writing to Timothy to help him or give him some guidance in how to deal with this issue in that church. So this false teachings, as I said, were not a problem in Ephesus, but also in the first century church. And what Paul does next is to show through his own example, it's the verse that we read. So he will show through his own example or testimony that salvation is not through the law, but through grace, as well as the calling to ministry. So he thanks God for calling him to ministry. He talks about his previous life before becoming a believer and how God's mercy encountered him. So almost at the end of this chapter, in the verse 17 that we also read, he writes a hymn of praise, which is a doxology, meaning word of glory, an expression of praise to God. So I don't know if you have already had the chance to listen to people sharing their testimony. So probably you had the chance to listen to someone sharing their testimony. And I particularly think it is good when we recognize what God did in our lives and we are able to share this with other people, but with the purpose of giving glory to God. And I grew up in a church in Brazil where usually on the Thursday afternoon service, we used to have people come to share their testimony. And sometimes something used to bother me because the way how people sometimes speak about themselves. So I think when we are able to share our testimonies, we need to point for God. And this is what Paul is doing here. He shared his testimony, but his life is not the focus. The focus is God and what God did in his life. Amen? And it is important. We can share, and I say it's important when we use our lives as an example to others, showing what God did for us or what God is doing for us. But sometimes people share about their lives as they were their own violence, and then later they became their own heroes. So I did it. And then after a while, I just started to do something different. And then my life changed. And what amazed me about this text, it's because the way how Paul is able to share his testimony. He says, my life is only an example. What happened to me was only as an example for those who would be saved by God. So my prayer this morning is that according to what we learn from Paul's life, you may feel encouraged to do that, to do what God has called you for. May you also be encouraged to share with others what God has done in your lives, giving them the privilege to hear about our great God. Amen? Not just giving people the privilege to hear only about our lives, because we are sinners. If it wasn't the mercy and grace of God, we won't be here, right? But giving people the opportunity to hear about our God through our lives. So when we share what God did for us. And this is my prayer this morning. So that God make you able to share your testimony in the way that people will be edified. And I also pray that you may feel inspired to praise and worship our God, as this apostle of Christ, named Paul, desired to do. So the theme of our message this morning is Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, because this is the way how Paul introduced himself in the pastoral letters. If you see in the beginning, in the verse 1, he'll say, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy, he'll say the same thing, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. If you go to Titus, he'll say, Paul, a God's servant and an apostle of Christ Jesus. So this is the way how he introduced himself in the pastoral letter. So we have this theme, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. And going to our first topic, the first point of our message, you can change there, please. Yes. So Paul is a man separated for ministry. Let's read again the verse 12. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. So Paul's conversion and call to ministry were very distinct. He was a Jew, educated by an important Pharisee called Gamaliel. He persecuted Christians until Christ encountered him, and Christ spoke directly to him and sent a Christian. So Paul went to Damascus, and then there Christ sent a Christian named Ananias to pray for Paul, and then he recovered his sight. This is just a summarize for those who doesn't know about Paul's life. But when Ananias prayed for him, he covered his sight because he became blind when he was encountered by Jesus Christ. So a bright light shone upon him, and he couldn't see anymore. So when he arrived in Damascus, God spoke to Ananias, and Ananias went to pray for him so he could see again. He recovered his sight, and he was baptized, and he could hear also about the God's calling for him. So this man, Paul, now he is speaking about his calling for ministry, and he's filled with gratitude because he begins saying, I thank him, who? Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. So Paul is a man separated for ministry who was filled with gratitude. He's thanking God because he had received strength and was considered faithful to be separated for God's service. Here, we notice how precious Paul considers the calling he received from God. He also says in the chapter 3, verse 1, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task or a good work. And seeing here the way how Paul speaks about his calling for ministry, I remember also something that I read about Charles Spurgeon when he was speaking to his students about the calling for ministry. Once he said, if God has called you to be a minister, don't stoop or don't lower yourself, don't go down to becoming a king. So what Charles Spurgeon is showing here, it's how precious is the calling of God. How precious is the calling of God for a man. This is why Paul is thanking God, because he recognized, like, God called me for something very special. And then he thanks God for that. Amen? Amen? You can help me to preach. As a Brazilian, we have this kind of expectation of communication. So feel free. If I say amen and you want to answer me, I'll be happy. If not, don't worry about that. Thank you, Pastor O. So Paul is thanking God. Can I drink this water? Thank you. Just to make sure if it's not the pastor on water. So Paul is thanking God, not because the ministry was easy for him. Because sometimes we have this tendency, right? We thank God when everything is going well for us, when everything is running the way how we taught, how we made plans. So say, oh, Lord, thank you so much. But Paul is thanking God, not because everything or the ministry or his calling was very easy, or because he hasn't had any problems. Actually, he had lots of trouble. And God predicted that when he said to Ananias, go and pray for Paul. God said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Paul suffered persecution, imprisonment. He was exposed to death. He received lashes. He was pelted with stones, was shipwrecked, spending a night and a day in the open sea. He was put in danger. So we can see that in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and 29. You can make notes if you want. I'll just mention some reference and you can write. So, but we are talking here a man that suffered a lot because of the Jesus Christ's name. But this man really understood the nature of his calling. This man, he knew the one who called him. And he recognized how precious this calling is. That's worthy of him to face all these trials, and says, I thank God for appointing me for his ministry. Amen. This man really understood, right? His calling. And I want to tell you, I'm sure that God called you to do something for him. And whatever God called you to do, if it's to serve in the children's ministry, if it's to serve in the music ministry, if it's to be a minister, to be a pastor, to be a leader, to serve the God's people. I don't know what kind of gifts God gave you, but I want to tell you something. It is a great privilege to serve our God. It is a great privilege to receive gifts from our God and being called for him to do something for him and also to his people. Amen. So this man, Paul, is separated from ministry, and he was strengthened by the Lord. He was strengthened by the Lord. So Paul is a man separated for ministry who was strengthened by the Lord. So he thanks Jesus not only for the ministry, but also for giving him strength. Strength is the opposite of weakness, which means that God makes him a new man and gives him strength, making him able for his ministry. And that's what God does. When he separates someone for ministry, he will change the person's life and give them what they are lacking. When God calls someone for ministry, he makes that person able for his service. And that's why Paul praises God, because he has no boast in himself. We sang that this morning. He said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. He also said in the verse 9, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul understood what God said to him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So, dear brothers and sisters, I want to let you know this morning, or remind you of that, that is impossible for someone doing the God's work by their own strength, by their own power, by their own wisdom. We need to be strengthened by God if we want to serve Him. If we want to do something for Him, because the God's work we cannot do by our own. And there's a way how God strengthens us. You can ask me that, like, how does God strengthen us? And He strengthens us by giving us the Holy Spirit. In this way, He changes our lives. He blesses us with gifts according to His will. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can proclaim the gospel. So we shouldn't try to do God's work by our own strength, but in the God's power and strength. This man, Paul, is a man separated for ministry who was considered faithful. It's a man separated for ministry who was considered faithful. That's interesting, because when you say was judged faithful, considered faithful, we think that maybe God saw something good in Paul that made God decide to choose him. But it's not that. To be considered faithful doesn't mean that God saw something in Paul, but that Paul was placed faithful or made faithful and appointed for ministry. And this is why he praises God. John Calvin says, speaking about this text, John Calvin says, when God wants to speak to his people, edify his church, and cause us to feel his grace and presence, he chooses men and appoints them to that office. He then provides signs or marks to make it known that he sent them. They have such a witness that they can say with Paul that God has counted them faithful. He also said, when we are not worthy to have good and faithful shepherds, we'll have ones who are fit for our taste, busybodies who bring all to nothing. What John Calvin is saying here is that when God wants to bless a people, he gives them faithful ministers, faithful leaders, faithful pastors. He prepares faithful leaders to bless a people, being faithful in the preaching of his word. But when God wants to judge a people, he gives them leaders according to their own will. And I have to say this to encourage Pastor Ron. I don't have this in my notes, but we are blessed in this church because we know that we'll come here every Sunday and the Bible will be open and the scriptures will be exposed. And it's not everywhere around the world that we see pastors committed with the gospel, committed with the scriptures. Not only Brazil, not only Canada. So we need to thank God. Amen? Praise Him, but also pray. Pray for faithful leaders. God bless Canada with faithful pastors. Not we don't need only pastors. We need faithful pastors. Amen? We don't need only more Christians. We need faithful Christians. We don't need just only more people doing things for God, but we need faithful believers, people who are changed by God's mercy and who is living in the way that will honor and glorify the God's name. Amen? Amen. Paul, he is a man reached by grace. And then it explains what we said before about being made or being judged or considered faithful. So let's read again the verse 13 to 16. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saints trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. So the words Paul used to describe himself serve as a proof of how unworthy he failed to be set apart for ministry. However, God in his grace, mercy, and patience reached out to him and changed his life. So Paul is a man reached by grace who was previously against Jesus. That's interesting because he begins thanking God because of his ministry. And then after that, he will give proof that the ministry he received is not because of something that he has, like good things, or because of himself, but because of the God's mercy. And then he will share a little bit about of his previous life. And look what he says about himself. He says that he was a blasphemer. He was a blasphemer because he didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. He was a persecutor because he persecuted the Christians. He was insolent opponent because he opposed the gospel and acted ignorantly in unbelief. So he thought he was doing the right thing. But he says about himself, he was the worst of sinners because he sinned against God and his people. You can write Acts chapter 8. I won't read it, but if you want to write it, Acts chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, we'll see that Paul, he was there when Stephen was to be executed, and he approved that. So that's why when we read the book of Acts, we'll see how was the Paul's life. So, but this man who was previously against Jesus, he was also shown God's mercy. So Paul is a man separated for ministry who was shown God's mercy. Verse 14, he says, "And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." He was all of these things before Christ displayed his mercy on him and encountered him. But when Jesus encountered him, he says, "The grace of our Lord overflowed for me, or was exceeding abundant." So God's grace was even higher and bigger than his sins. We'll see that our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. So where there was unbelief, God replaced with faith. Where there was anger or hate against God's people, the Lord replaced with love. And then verse 15 and 16, he transitions from only showing what God did for him to the reason why Jesus came into the world. And he says, "The same is trustworthy and full of acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. which also includes him, amen, who, in his own words, is the chief of the sinners, chief of sinners, or the worst of sinners, or the foremost. But he says that he received mercy to serve as an example to those who were to believe in Christ for eternal life. If we take this verse, and maybe I can give you this homework, if you have some time this week, you can get this three verse, or maybe all this Bible, this text that I'm preaching. So, and then you can write in one column, who was Paul, what he says about himself, and put on the other side, what he says about Christ Jesus, about God, about Jesus' mission, what God did in his life, and then we'll see that, and it will help us understand that it's not about how bad someone is, but about how good, gracious, and merciful our God is. Can you say amen? Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us when we were sinners. I remember that I was a teenager, and one day I came to my parents. My daddy, he is also a pastor. And I came to him one day, and also my mom, and said, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to go to church anymore. I prefer go out with my friends. I want to live something different. Actually, I was discovering the world and its passions. And I'm sure that it wasn't easy to them to listen that from their kid who was raised in the church, right? But anyway, I didn't leave the church, but I kind of lived a double life in my teenage years. And then I remember I come home one day, and my mom, she was in my bedroom, walking from my bedroom to my brother's bedroom. Sorry. I said to myself, I won't cry. I'm used to cry. She was walking from my bedroom and going to my brother's bedroom. And I said, Mom, what's going on? What's happening? And then she said, I'm praying for you and your brother. I'm praying for you and your brother because God gave me you and your brother for him. I have kids for him. I don't have kids for the world. I don't have kids for the enemy. But I have kids for God. God gave me you and your brother. And you both, and both of you are separated for him. And I never forget that word, like those words. I still remember that. But what happened was she told me that, and I was with that in my mind for a few days. And I remember that at some point of my life, I was still a teenager, and God just began to change the desires of my heart. It wasn't something that I did for myself. It wasn't something that my parents did. It wasn't something that someone else did, but God did it. The God's grace and mercy reached me. And my brother, he was away in the university, studying to become a lawyer. And I remember that when I was 17, I felt called by God for ministry. And I said to my parents, I was studying to go to also go to university because I had the desire to become a doctor. And I said to my parents, I don't know what's happening, but I think I want to go to the seminary instead of the university to be a doctor. And my dad said, amen. We bless you and we support you. By the God's mercy and grace, I'm here. I came to Canada as a missionary to learn English and to serve the God's people in this country. My brother, by the God's mercy and grace, he's also a pastor in Brazil. I'm telling you that not to talk about myself, but to tell you, we serve a God that is rich in mercy and grace. He's still merciful and graceful, gracious. He saved Paul. He saved us. And this is why Christ Jesus came into the world, to save sinners. He is still saving sinners. He is still saving sinners. His work is perfect. His work is perfect. He won't fail. He never fails. And I want to encourage you, keep praying. Persevere in prayer for those that sometimes seems unreachable. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Because Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. And his work is perfect. Moving to our last point, Paul is a man willing to worship. Verse 17, to the King of the age, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is not the first time we see Paul praising God in his letters. He does it in the chapter 6. He also does it in Romans 11. And after describing the doctrine of election, he finishes with, for from him, through him, and to him are all things. To God be glory forever. Amen. And similarly, after describing his calling to be an apostle and the mercy and grace of God, enriching him as the worst of sinners, he finishes this section with a hymn of praise to God. Looking back at his life and how patient God was, Paul expressed praise and worship from his heart. It seems to be not only external praise, but a genuine expression from someone who was deeply convinced of his sins and his old situation, yet incredibly thankful for what God did in his life by choosing the worst of sinners to become an apostle of Christ Jesus. In the same way that looking at his previous life and seeing how graceful, merciful, and patient God was with him made Paul to express great worship. We should feel the same when we reflect on our own lives. I want to ask you, how do we feel when we think about ourselves? Does the salvation we received by God warm our hearts to the point that we want to worship him? Or do we see our salvation as something we can take credit for? Do we view Christianity as merely a set of rules to follow and nothing more? Are we able to rejoice in God for our salvation more than for any other material achievement? The gift of salvation is the greatest gift a person can receive. And it should lead us to offer hymns of praise to God for his faithfulness to his promises and his purpose. Can you say amen? We could sing, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, I have needed thy hand had provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's sing one more time. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and we are included in that. And as I said, his work is perfect. We should say, as Paul said, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I would like to conclude asking you two questions. First, has God changed? Has God changed? No. Has God's word also changed? No. If God is still the same and his words remain unchanged, we should believe in him and approach him in prayer. This is what Paul is going to talk about in the next chapter, chapter 2, the importance of prayer for all people and for their salvation. So we should pray for God to raise up faithful men to care for his people. We should pray for God to strengthen those who are already, by his grace, serving in ministry. We should also persist in prayer for those who are not saved yet, even those who seem unreachable. And we also can pray for God to bring to our hearts the joy of salvation. As the psalmist said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And this joy will overflow from our hearts, inside out, in a hymn of praise to our Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm thankful. Thankful for the privilege of sharing your word, for the privilege of being here in this nation, in Canada, to serve you, to serve your church, to serve your people. And I pray, Lord, that you make me faithful. Make me faithful. Make your people faithful. I pray for the pastors in this country. I pray for the pastors in America. I pray for the pastors all around the world. I pray, Lord, that you may raise faithful pastors. Pastors who are committed with your word, who desires to please you more than anyone else. I pray, Lord, for your people here in Richmond Lions Church. I pray for strength, that you may strengthen them to serve you, to live for you, to shine your light wherever they go. We are thankful for your mercy and your grace. in the same way as Paul was reached by your grace and your mercy. We pray for our families. I pray for the families of your people here, for their kids, their grandkids. I pray for our neighbors. I pray, Lord, for those that we have the opportunity to touch in the middle of the week. So I pray that your grace and your mercy reach them. I also pray, Lord, for our lives, that you may give us the opportunity to share what you have done with us, what you have done in our lives, what you have done in this church. And every time when we have the privilege of sharing about your perfect work in our lives, that we may be filled with joy, the joy of salvation, and we may be filled, encouraged to worship you and to honor you. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.